Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead then said, O Brahma, O depths of Vedic wisdom, be neither depressed nor anxious about the execution of creation. What you are begging from me has already been granted before. Maybe it's interesting for you to have the context. Brahma is here described to be at the beginning of his entrusted work, the work of creation. He's more or less finding himself in an empty universe, and he knows it is up to him to create the many living entities. He knows that. So he feels anxious. I think in German we would say innerlich unruhig. It's a huge task which he has. To create a universe is not something very simple. And he is not knowing how will he do this. Will it work? Will he be able to actually go about to construct all the planetary systems and the bodies of the living entities? Will he create? And then Krishna appears to him and says, please do not be depressed or anxious, because what you are begging for me, that is, to create, that has already been granted before, and it's already given a purport. Any person authorized by either the Lord or by his bona fide representative is already blessed, as is the work entrusted to him. So if you have been properly authorized for something, or in a way you have been chosen, please do this, then already you are blessed with success, and your work also. Of course, the person entrusted with such a responsibility should always be aware of his own incapability and must always look for the mercy of the Lord for the successful execution of his duty. One should not be puffed up because one is entrusted with the execution of a particular work. One should not be puffed up. Fortunate is he who is so entrusted, and he is always fixed in the sense of being subordinate to the will of the Lord. When he is working like this, he is sure to come out successful in the discharge of his work. Arjuna, for instance, was entrusted with the work of fighting on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And before he was so entrusted, the Lord had already arranged for his victory. Okay, I mean, it's done. Krishna had told him, you do this, and now, you know, don't worry, I will arrange for the outcome of this. This is my duty. Your duty is just to do this. But Arjuna was always conscious of his position as being subordinate to the Lord. And thus he accepted him as the supreme guide in his responsibility. Anyone who takes pride in doing responsible work but does not give credit to the Supreme Lord is certainly falsely proud. and cannot execute anything nicely. Brahma and persons in the line of his disciplic succession who follow in his footsteps are always successful in the discharge of transcendental loving devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pishtaya Bhutale Shivate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nivesesha Sunyavani Paskatyare Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Vasadi Govaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Indri, I see you are from this temple and you are an older devotee. See, both of these furnitures are not really practical because if I want to put the Bhagavatam on them, that's all right. I'm explaining a thing. The Bhagavatam will be lower than I sit, and I will go according to strict Vedic guidelines. This is, I will have a very difficult life afterwards. It must be a little higher. What we can do is, but I can't. We can put this here. Kuvalishaya, no, please. Kuvalishaya, put the table there.
There's a small
yes.
Folding.
Yes. Please put it here. Here. Then this works. So this is a very, in a way you could say, an encouraging verse. It really says if you have been entrusted with something, then if it is something which is in the plan of the Lord, there will be already success. We are not maybe always able to see how there will be a success in what we do. We even feel anxious and worried. Will this work out? What is the future? In fact, we may sometimes feel sorrowfully discouraged, really discouraged that this will never work out. But if it is something willed by the Lord, if it is something which is the plan of the Lord, and despite of us, despite of us means in German, trotz uns, also nicht wegen uns, sondern trotz uns, there will be a very auspicious result. So a devotee, in a sense, who acts being instructed or being guided by the spiritual master and by Krishna, is never really anxious, will this work out or will this not work out. He knows he will be successful by Krishna's mercy. So Brahma was entrusted with the work of creation, and naturally he was nervous. But by Krishna's arrangement, it will work out. I do remember when I was preaching Krishna consciousness in the old times, before many, many people, we had sometimes really 8,000, 9,000 people, and I had to give a lecture for 1 hour to these people who were really new to Krishna consciousness, where I didn't know how they would react to what we said. I did feel nervous. I remember I needed to go to the bathroom a few times before I finally made it to the stage. I just felt so nervous. And but I still knew this was the order of Srila Prabhupada. This was the order of the Lord, the desire of the Lord to spread Krishna consciousness. I remember I just sat down and just tried my best, and at the end everyone applauded. I noticed everyone was silent, no one was disturbing, and it went all right. But at that time, because I'm a little nervous before many people, just because I do never know how if I will be able to express what is in my heart in a way they can understand, and that makes me nervous. And when you speak about spiritual subject matters, you speak about the most private things in your life that you can talk about. And so so I remembered when finally everything was over and they had listened and they seemed to like it by their reaction, I do remember very clearly the feeling that Sachinandan Swami, this is not because of you. It is Krishna who has granted you success, and who has given you the ideas, and he has somehow supported you, and he has somehow maintained you, and it worked. So this is what the verse talks about. I would now like to talk about karma, material or karma, which translates really as desire, its origin and how to deal with it in Krishna consciousness. In the original Vedas there is a verse, it says, from his desire comes our desire. From his means the original Purusha, the Lord, who has desire in his heart, desire to perform a certain action, comes our desire in our heart. From the big heart, the small heart is inspired. No? So, in the original Vedas, desire or karma is something which is divine in its origin and which is necessary, or not necessary, which is there. Another shloka in the Vedas says desire is there to maintain the creation. If there wouldn't be any desire, there wouldn't be any movement or action, and the creation as it is would stop. It won't move any longer. It only moves by desire. So, while the Vedas praise desire as something to keep the creation on, and explain that desire is of a divine origin, the same Vedas also describe that desire, if not properly connected or engaged, is a source of frustration and the source of bondage. No? So today in this lecture I would like to explore a little bit about these two forms of desire, or these two aspects of desire, something divine, something which moves us along in our life, which moves the whole creation along, and something which, if not properly engaged or recognized, leads to the bondage and frustrations in our life. I would like to explore this subject a little with you. But before doing so, I would like to make a second point as an introduction to my subject. My second point is something which I believe is in the experience of all of us. I've made a note in my notebook that so often we have heard the scriptures say, you are a soul, Jai Gopal, Krishna is your master, engage simply in his service exclusively and you will reach Krishna. We have heard this very often. It's a simple basic Sambandha philosophy, Sambandha and Abhideya. We are the part of Krishna, we are his servants, engage in his service and you will reach him. But very often there's all of a sudden this desire to do something else, to not surrender to Krishna. There seems to be another voice, almost contrary to what we hear in the scriptures. Like we want to engage in devotional service, we want to be connected with Krishna, but there is another I want, which has something different in its mind. And it's this, you know, point where I feel we have to look deeply, you know, there is a divine desire and there is a selfish desire, and sometimes they conflict with each other. And then we are leading what is called a material conditioned life. So if we can just take this force which keeps the universe alive and going, if we can just somehow harmonize this force of desire with Krishna, if we can just learn how to do that, and be in one voice, so to say, our life will reach totally new dimensions. And this is what I'm going to try to talk. Now, Arjuna asked Krishna once about this dilemma which he experienced in his life. His own desire, which was out of harmony with Krishna's desire, and which brought frustration to him, and you know, the intellectual understanding that there is a world of divine desire with which he wanted to connect. So he spoke about this. Through what are people engaged in sin, even against their own will? They really don't want this. Then Krishna then answers, Kama esha, krodha esha, rajaguna samut bhava, mahar shana maha papa, vidyenam ihavairinam. It is karma, which later turns into anger, it is born from the mode of passion. Oh, this is the great enemy of the world. Now, with this karma, which is not divine, but which is influenced and even born from Rajaguna, you know, the mode of passion, whoever wants his plan to be successful. This karma is what the scriptures warn about, this disconnected form of desire, which is no longer in harmony with the heart of God. That leads to a few problems, which which we say. See, when we talk in modern language, ISKCON language, about karma, I think we have to be very clear. What do we mean now with this word? You know, what is it? Is it disconnected or is it connected, karma? Karma often is translated as lust, but that's really one tiny, tiny aspect of karma. And karma is not only that desire, which are naturally in men and women, to meet each other and be deeply joined to each other. No, karma takes on different forms. When it is not satisfied, if my own desires are not satisfied, I become frustrated and angry and sad. When it is satisfied, you know, when I take care that my karma is satisfied and it works out, I want more of the same thing again. It's called greed at that time. Karma, when it makes me attached to something, like I'm at the present moment attached that my iPod works, you know, I have to admit I need this iPod. iPod is a recording device to do my Pilates exercises, and it never works with me. You know, I always have to call Gaurahari for immediate relief work on my iPod. You know, and I can see, you know, yesterday I was trying to make my iPod work, and the foolish thing didn't work, and I just was only a centimeter away. You know, I had a little bit, I hadn't slept long enough, so I was just a centimeter away from moha. Moha means illusion. I wanted to take the foolish thing and throw it on the floor and never ever again have something to do with this. This is called moha, an illusion, you know, and a tamasic, you know, thing. And in the last minute, I remembered Gaurahari's smiling face. It's not a problem. You just press this button and it works, you know. And then I just didn't commit murder. But, you know, karma or desire can take on when it becomes attached to a foolish small little thing, like which is perishable. It can take on the form of moha, just total illusion, tama. When karma takes on the form of self-esteem, do you know what that is? In German, self-esteem, wie würde man das sagen? Eine hohe Einschätzung seiner selbst. Huh? Then it can take on the form of mada, pride on intoxication, feeling I'm really on top of the world. But when karma, listen to this, is directed, this desire, by seeing others who are wealthy, beautiful, apparently successful, this karma can turn into a deep sense of intolerance of another person's well-being, and it turns into envy, you know. I desire something. Maybe I also desire things like I want to be the closest to my guru, and if I see there is someone else who seems to be more closer, then I become intolerant towards the situation and the person, and out of this intolerance, envy comes. I really want to make this point. Karma is something which is very, very strong. It's a desire, it's a force, and if it becomes connected with certain psychological things, it turns into something else. And it can give me, it can compromise my spiritual life severely. Most of the people are not familiar with the force of karma, and because they have this powerful energy which really jumps from the heart of God, you know. It's like electricity which comes from a high power supply, you know. And it comes into their little lives and is there. And they are really not able to handle this energy properly. And therefore, it very often creates chaos in their lives, you know. Like the scriptures say, it takes on, although it is something good, it's something very necessary, it's something very divine, you know, it takes on the form of an enemy. Even, you know, let us speak of sexual desire here. If it is something which is in the dealt with in a dharmic way, you know, it is God. It is not something which is not good. It is very good. It is God. How do we say? Kamosmi. I'm karma. You know, it's divine. Karma. Karma springs is in the heart of the Lord. But if that energy is not handled wisely, you know, this desire, it just creates frustration, sadness, low energy, you know, and just misery. And therefore, I want to give this lecture, Hare Krishna. Is it interesting for you, or will you switch off your computer because it's too intense for you? I have to address my internet audience, you know. See, I wanted to find out about this force and how to utilize it properly in spiritual life, and had a long discussion about this with a very good friend of mine, Krishna Chetra Prabhu, who gave a lecture in the University of Hong Kong about love in Indian literature. Very interesting. And I said, I'm at the moment in my life thinking very much about this subject matter. Could I have your notes, please? And he gave me a pile of notes with a lot of Rabindranath Tagore and this movie and that movie, you know, which he uses to educate his students in Hong Kong. He told me something. He said, mostly, you know, in my university class, I met women. There were women in the class, not so many men. And I was asking one professor, why this subject is so interesting? Everyone has to deal with love. I mean, has love, I hope. Why are the men not coming? And the professor said he had experienced also, and he had seen that men are not able to really confront the subject matter. They are not really going deep into this by their nature. They are afraid of this force a little bit because it's a powerful horse, you know. You know, if you don't know how to deal with it, it will bite you and kick you. Krishna. I would now like to talk a little bit, where I'm here, about this force when it is not properly engaged, when karma is not properly having found its place, and we are working with it unconsciously in some ways. And then I would like to give a very nice, in my understanding, very nice and helpful outlook how to engage karma in the right, in a way where it will invigorate you, make you strong. Yesterday I was quoted by a nice devotee. When I sometimes, I'm personally very excited. Wir werden darüber sprechen, wie es dir sehr viel Kraft geben kann. You know, how it can give you a lot of energy in your, which is useful for devotional service. Yeah? So, let us first deal about what we don't want, and then we have it off the table, and so on. Very often, karma especially in this time and age, is something which captures the mind and senses, that is the emotions and the senses, and it doesn't really capture the intelligence, the buddhi. As you know, in Vedic psychology, the mind and the senses are very powerful things to get your things done, but they should be used, they should be informed by buddhi, by that that high agency which can help us in our self-realization. In Vedic psychology, you can imagine the mind and the senses to be like the trunk of an elephant. Trunk is Rüssel. It always goes back and forth between this I like, this I don't like, here I feel happy, here I feel unhappy, the dualities of the world. The trunk which always grabs out to things, to take them, the things which are pleasant, and to reject the things which are unpleasant. Huh? Now the buddhi, the intelligence, is like the head of the elephant, who has a huge ears. It is said the mind and the senses should be guided by the intelligence which has big ears to hear wisdom, Vedic wisdom. The intelligence can hear that Vedic wisdom, and then it can tell the mind and the emotions and the senses, it can inform it. And I think you all know this, when you hear nice Krishna conscious informations, how happy you feel and how it really informs your life. Like I think yesterday I could see devotees came and said that this was so nice for us to hear about Gauranga Mahaprabhu. This gives us so much happiness in our heart. So yes, you should be not like a headless elephant. You should have a head, huh? Have a head, and have ears to let the Vedic informations come and enlighten you. But very often, as we said, you can't really listen any longer because somehow this karma, this force, has just captured your mind and feeling so much that you are so interested in your disconnected little thing, you know, which is not in harmony with the Lord's plan, that you are just so frustrated and so like a little you know, and the body and mind is captured, you know. And then Narottam Thakur, he describes what happens: my ears hear but they don't listen. My heart knows what should be done, but I just don't want that. And I have not realized it, you know. My heart wants ecstasy, but my mind and my feelings are in between, and they just pull me down to the low class things, you know. The example is Duryodhana. Duryodhana saw something, but he didn't understand. Do you remember how Krishna came to Duryodhana's court once as a peaceman messenger for the Pandavas, and Duryodhana had tried to win him over on his side by really a very manipulative dealing, and Krishna had made it very clear, Duryodhana, I'm not like that. I can't be pulled on your side, so like this, you know. And then Duryodhana was angry, And he attacked Krishna with a small army. And at that time, Krishna showed some of his abilities, you know, some of his universal form. And as a result of this, you know, he wanted to stop Duryodhana, but Duryodhana became just so angry. He said, "You are a magician. Anyone can do that." And he told his soldiers, "Capture him, throw him into prison." And the soldier said, "But he has so many hands. Which one should we should we grab?" You know. And Duryodhana, "Just any hand, you know." "But foolish people, you are trained in the military camps, you should be able to do this, you know." So he saw, but he did not see. Pashyama pinas pashyati. That means there is a very powerful force working in him, and that's karma, desires which are not in harmony with the Lord and which just make him blind. So blind, you know, that he goes even against the Lord, and so on. Now, the yogis have understood that this force of karma is very, very powerful, and they do something which I really think a lot is done a lot in the Hare Krishna movement, and which doesn't work. What they do is, they want to stop the force of desire by becoming desireless. So, they just want to block it with this almost brute mental force. Please do your work, and then when you're finished, please peacefully. Thank you, Gaurahari. It was not necessary, but you wanted to enhance the atmosphere. Thank you. So, they really, I don't know if you have seen these yogis. For instance, I saw one in Haridwar on my way to Hrishikesh, not this year, many years ago. He thought he wanted to stop the desire to go to bed and sleep. And he stood on one leg already for many years, and when he felt tired, he would lean on something like it was coming down from a tree, and he would lean on this. And I saw him; he looked really tired. He had done this for 5 years already, and the Dolmetscher, who was with me, I asked him, "Why do you do this? Why don't you just take a good rest, you know?" It's and he said, no, "You don't understand. Behind the rest, you know, that inclination to rest is karma, is the desire, force of desire, and I want to break that, because it's that desire which keeps me bonded to this material world." But you know, when you just try to control this force, by your own force, you will really get into difficulties. Those of us who are not so strong in their will become very frustrated, and we say funny people. You know, they will have disorders after some time, mental disorders, and just be dysfunctional, and they will look funny, you know. They will not, and you know, in devotional life, we can just camouflage this funny activity and this this unnatural activity in a religious way. You find that a lot. You find nuns and monks really being a little bit cuckoo. That's an American slang word which means a little, you know, this is how we say it. The second way is what happens is if you try to suppress this force in you, what will happen to you is the devatas, the demigods who preside over your senses, will give you a trouble. You know, what will happen is you will be able to control the senses for some time, but when there's a strong sense impulse coming from outside, you know, something like almost a storm, the devatas will throw open the closed doors of your senses and the storm will come in. Because the devatas have forcibly opened the sense gates, which you try to immaturely close, you have no choice. You will start to enjoy again. There is just no, you just don't have, Krishna will arrange a situation in your life where he will show you this doesn't work, this lifestyle. You know, for a devotee, Krishna arranges. For the non-devotees, the devatas will just forcibly open the closed gates, and you will have a severe accident in your spiritual life. The example in the scriptures is Sobari Muni, who saw that he did not, who saw some stimulating scene, erotic stimulating scene, as he was meditating underwater in the best hiding place he could imagine from sense objects, and he saw this and he felt aroused. His sleeping senses were all of a sudden coming back, and he just couldn't maintain his yoga practice and went to the he married 50 women, 50, and as a result he was not able to live according to what he wanted. Now the devotees therefore don't suppress anything. They recognize here is a God-given thing, a God desire is there, but I should now engage that in a proper way. This is how the devotees deal with it. And Narottam wrote about this, and I want to try to sing it to you. Don't worry. And then I wanted to end on a hopeful note, and then this lecture will have a second part. I will not, I will have a chance to talk about it. This evening maybe, or in the temple maybe, where we can make for, well, I think I should talk about this in the evening maybe, because and then we can, no, but I don't know if this evening I have a German speaking audience or an English speaking audience before me, either today in the evening or tomorrow in the evening. No. Or do I have a morning? Oh no, yeah. And tomorrow morning is the temple, isn't it? Or is stay in tune. Stay in tune. Kama krodha lobha moha madamatsyaya dhammasa Stane stane niyokta kyoribo aranda kori hridoy ripa kori parajay anya se govinda pashibo ananda means pleasure in the heart kori hridoy Ripu kori parajoy anyase govinda bhajibo. I will engage lust. I will engage anger. I will engage greed. I will engage illusion and envy and pride. All this I will engage in Krishna service. Thus, I can defeat these enemies with a blissful heart and easily worship Govinda. What we will learn is, it's not just, yes, we defeat the dysfunctional children of karma, but we will use this powerful energy in our devotional service, and we will find out how this energy, in contact with Krishna, you know, who is after all the origin of this energy, will turn into prema. You know, we will find that out. It is really, this discovery will change your whole life. You will understand how to use a very powerful force which you might not have been able to use properly. How you use it in Krishna's, in connection with Krishna, and in this way, you know, make a huge endeavor. Sometimes people say that they say this about me. They say, you seem to be different than the other devotees whom we meet. They say, you have remained very natural. I'm saying, I don't think I'm natural. I have to really learn a lot. Still, I have many mistakes which I can see. But they say, no, you are joyful and you are... And I'm thinking, you know, as devotees, we don't often want to hear our praise. We never want to hear it. And what I personally think is just, I'm trying to be thoughtful in my life, how to use what is there in the service of self-realization and in Krishna. And I'm trying, but I'm trying. I mean, I'm learning many, many things, especially in this stage of my life where I'm really think one must confront, one must use this energy in the proper way to go forward. So, in the next lecture, I have so many notes about this. I'm sorry to end here, because now it really gets interesting, I think. We want to know how will this work. Maybe I can give you one little taster, you know, because I also agree that this is a question which we all have, and we feel dissatisfied when it gets good, then it stops, you know. This is how we feel, you know. But I noticed in my life, karma can go in two ways. When karma is many-pointed, and you want to enjoy, and you want to have something for yourself, the many sense objects by which you fulfill your own desire, then it's one thing. But if you, all of us, if you look up and you find in your eyes the beautiful form of Krishna, and you begin to desire to do service for Him, then something happens. You look up to Krishna, and you really understand, theoretically at least, as you are, you know, torn by your old habits, you know, but you understand theoretically, I should be serving my Lord, I should be connected with my Lord, I want to be in His divine embrace. You feel like this, but you are too weak, really, to do this on your own. And at that time, as you are in that helpless situation where you are attacked by this powerful force, not attacked, but surrounded by this powerful force which acts in ways which you know from many, many lifetimes, and you know that it is not an it is not an unproblematic force. It's you have to do this right. Then you look up and you look to Krishna, and all of a sudden something amazing happens. From Radharani's heart, an expansion comes. To say it in modern language, you all are modern people, it goes like, it manifests from Radharani's heart. It's a beautiful energy. If you are a little bit more advanced, you will be able to see that the energy is a person called Bhakti Devi. And this Bhakti Devi comes down from a higher plane to a lower plane, and comes and helps you to go towards Radharani. It comes like it's a stream which comes from up to down, and you all of a sudden feel pacified in your heart, like. But it doesn't stop there. Then Bhakti Devi comes, takes you by the hand, like a lost child, and brings you up. And then you feel how something happens with your desire. That desire is again mixing with Radha's own energy. It's called Kladini Shakti. You know the. Kladini Shakti means she is the personification of the pleasure-giving potency, and you see how something happens in your desire, which was in the beginning very theoretical. In the beginning, you just wanted theoretically to serve Krishna, but now you feel that warmth in your heart, this energy in the heart, and that and your heart is taken up, and you cannot help but think of Radharani all the time, and this divine, because your desire has now become purified from the harmful effect. The force is still there, and then you want to just run to Radha and Krishna. Now people in this world will not understand what happened to you. They will think, oh, he's now going another course, another direction. He has turned away from me and from the world. And they will feel slightly irritated. But it's not like that. Prabhupada made this point so clear that when you come into this energy, it doesn't mean that you are uninterested in the people. It just means you're very interested in Radha and Krishna. Hare Krishna, Jivanath. Ich wünsche dir einen wunderschönen, von Krishnas Mercy erfüllten Tag und danke für deine doch unglaubliche Hilfe gestern. Also ich merke richtig, da ist was passiert. Ich glaube, du hast da, das hat so über die Nacht gebrodelt noch und gearbeitet. Hare Krishna. We had to say goodbye to a devotee who is taking care of his family. So this is it connects. You somehow have to see that desire, which is so strong and makes you so happy also on one level, it connects really with Krishna, and then it works. Now, how to do this and how to do this, that is the next lecture. But I wanted to just explain to you that there is hope on the horizon. It starts really with some theoretical understanding. I want to please Krishna. You begin to understand this because you have heard it from the scripture. It's really more or less in the beginning a Buddhi thing. Your large ears have heard it, and now your trunk is no longer like going like the elephant trunk, you know. Yeah. But you feel all of a sudden let me see how I could connect my life with Krishna. And then if you pray, and sometimes even pray out of a helpless feeling, then the Bhakti Devi comes down and brings you up, and you find how the desire to serve is even stronger. I remember once Prabhupada was asked, what do you desire for your birthday? You know, a present. And Prabhupada said, I just need service to Krishna. He didn't have anything else in mind. That means service to Krishna. That's Ladini Shakti. That's Radha's own energy. Devotional service, you know. God. I know some of you think this is not practical for me. I want to go and see the new movie, you know. But no, just stay in the association of devotees and you will see, or discuss with devotees, and don't run away, and you will see how you will develop other superior desires and you will move on. Good. I'm a little bit too long. I want to stop here. Thank you for being with us and be tuned in. I learned that the internet, Gaurahari told me yesterday, 60 people were watching, and then I was thinking, wow, this was much more than in the temple room, you know. Yeah. Hare Krishna. So we can see now. Do you have any questions regarding this? Would you like to ask something, or would you like maybe to object? Maybe my presentation. No. Why do you love school? My presentation was maybe not convincing for all of you because I did not address important side issues, and I know I constantly make this mistake that I just think a little bit from my own little world and hope everyone will see the world like me, but it's not reality. Anyone has a question? Aindri, yes. Yeah. I'm very grateful for Andri's question. This is a very important question. I would like to repeat it for all of you. Andri said, quoted me, that suppression will not work in this. Can't suppress desire. It's the very thing which keeps you alive. You know, if you suppress it, you will be dead. But she says, aren't there situations where you desire something so strongly, but it's really harmful for you and others? And does this mean you should just fulfill it or pray? And then Andri said, I said, you should pray that something, you should pray for help in this matter. And Andri correctly observed, help doesn't always come ping, you know. Sometimes, I don't know how it's with you, you sit with a desire for 1 year, you know, which is there, and should you just then go out and fulfill that desire, you know, which Krishna has not removed or transformed? Well, you have accepted regulative principles in your life, and there are certain principles which you have somehow, you have. And when you break that, it's something happens in you which is not, you know, you break yourself, really. You are very violent to yourself and to others. And What I meant is not suppressing is something else maybe than the modern interpretation of this. I wanted to, you know, you have to acknowledge it's there. Now, what do we do with this energy? And you have to do something positive. If you just say, no, 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 you will become sick after some time, you know, because that no is not life, you know. You have to see how you engage that in that energy. And I found out in my life, but maybe it's because I'm a little older in spiritual life than many of you who are younger. I mean, I found out if you take your desire. See, I always want to take over the world. That's big enough. And it never happened, you know. Maybe it will not happen. Maybe it is not meant to happen. Maybe it shouldn't happen. But I put my energy in this. This was a little humorous. I very strongly remember when I have desires. What is my actual desire? What is behind it? And I find out in my case, by the spiritual practice, I really want to please my spiritual master, and I really want to somehow go and join the Rasa dance. I have this project. What to say? I shouldn't say it so loudly, but I really want. It is in my mind a lot, because I heard that's the goal of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, and I have read about it in the 10th canto. And although I feel at this moment I'm still unqualified, but I want to be home again. I just, that's me. So I connect with the big desires, and usually then when you get out of your, you know, the Vaishnavas say, join the big love story. We have to be in a love story. That's, you know, the soul wants to love, but join the big love story. You know, that is how I think one should do. Our love stories are so small, and there's so much quarrel and so much misunderstanding, and then so much work to make it work. You know, it's always like this in the human dimension. Join the big love story, and then when you join the big love story, you will feel and then you know, if that is clear, you should also be affectionate with Vaishnavas. You should not. Doesn't work if you are not affectionate here on the human platform. You will be missing something, but in a nice way, you know. Krishna is satisfied when you are, and you will also be satisfied when you are affectionate with the devotees. So let me be very clear, Andrea. I really think that you should understand, you know, this desire is there, but it is a harmful desire and will not bring me to where I really want to do. Now I have to say no to this, but let me do something with this energy and use it in the right direction. I think it works. It is a little discipline in the beginning. It's discipline. It's hard, because what to do at the moment your feelings for Krishna are not yet so strong, and for Radha, isn't it? It's not so strong, but what you feel very strongly is human feelings, you know. Very strongly you feel it. Ooh, it's so strong. So you have to practice a little bit the scale will tilt. Die Waage wird kippen. Now it's all human feelings like this. Glu, 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 glu. And after some time, it will be It will be human feeling plus Krishna. That is what the devotees experience at the moment. You know, the devotees in our movement. But still, the human feelings are a little bit stronger than what we feel for Radha and Krishna. Maybe sometimes much stronger. And after some time, it will be Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And mysteriously, this is something which I'm starting to experience, but it's really at the beginning. Mysteriously, you begin to love people at that time also. It's not, loving Krishna is not exclusive of to anyone else. It is not like that. It is somehow you even have stronger feelings for people. You really want that they are well, you know, and that everything works for them. It comes. Hare Krishna. Have I answered it clearly? Thank you very much. Don't know if you know Indri and myself, with a group of around 30 to 40 people, had a wonderful journey to the Lord of Liberation in Muktinath, and we walked through the Himalayas. We walked up the sacred Kali Gandaki Valley. Ooh, that was where Maharaj Bharata had been there, and we listened to the Bhagavatam about Maharaj Bharata's experience every day. It's somewhere in the nature. It was so wonderful, and we went and. When we stood before Lord Muktinath, we couldn't believe that we made it. Krishna. It was actually wonderful. A few people became devotees who came on this journey. It was this we should do again, you know, Himalayas, Muktinath, poof. Amazing. I think your sister was there as well, isn't it? Krishna. Good. Let us end here. Kuva, should we end? We can end. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi go nitai ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.